This is Partners in Lag, our whenever we feel like it podcast. this is Az coming from you in Camarillo, California, and joining me is Newman.
This is Newman from Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne, all right.
The other side of the Pacific.
The international Partners in Lag.
So you get a bit of lag yourself playing those with those East Coast chumps.
Yeah, you know, it's unless you're playing with someone in one coast or the other, it's pretty much laggy wherever you go.
Yeah, definitely. Man, yeah. I've had some fun games with the Gamers with Jobs guys hosting a Gears of War match on my connection.
How did that go?
Oh, it's hilarious. So for some of them, it's not too bad. Like the West Coasters, it's not too bad, but the East Coasters they're wrecked.
Host advantage.
Yeah, when the host is like a second and a half away from everyone else, that's a real advantage.
Yeah, especially in Gears, it's kind of a really fast-paced game.
Yeah, it turns to shit very quickly. It's just a slideshow for everyone else. I'm just running around like some kind of god. It's awesome.
Yeah, I recall playing with a few European Gougers, and it's kind of a complete pain in the ass, to say the least.
Yeah,
no, but
that's fun.
Yeah. So this is the inaugural Partners in Lag podcast, and this is our first show. We're talking about the year 2010, which is already here, unfortunately. We're kind of late to the game. But we'll be talking about all our upcoming games that we're looking forward to, among other things. Obviously, we recorded this intro kind of post-podcast, but, you know, this is our first show, so we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Hopefully it won't sound too bad after the edits.
I'm thinking you'll be able to notice the difference in my tone, but other than that,
the difference in your level of intoxication, perhaps.
Okay, right. Which you know, it leads to a different way of speaking. Trust me. I know I can notice. I don't know about everybody else, but we'll find out.
Sounds fine to me.
So this is our grand, spectacular 2010 look into the future show.
Yep.
Where we'll be looking into all the good games coming out in 2010, any interesting predictions we might have on what will be announced or what turns will be taken, and perhaps just a general direction that 2010 will take gaming, because there is supposed to be a lot of interesting stuff hitting this year. It's Natal and Sony's magic colorful glowing wand and whatever else.
All sorts of stuff which is destined to failure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sony's looks interesting because it's got that nice glowing magic ball.
It could work, yeah. It's hard. It's so hard to tell with those things whether people are going to go for them. I mean, even when the Wii came out, that's been a massive success, but no one predicted that. No one in a million years would have predicted that. I mean, it is stupid and gimmicky, but it is actually successful. People want that shit, so...
It still baffles me as to why.
Yeah. I still haven't picked up Emotion Blast. I still haven't picked up Wii Sports Resort. I have no real desire to go dancing around my lounge room with a pretend lightsaber.
Well, at least you're halfway there. You already own a Wii, right?
Yeah. I've got a Wii. I've got a 360 and a PS3 as well, but the 360 is the only one that gets any serious use.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's Wii gets a really serious use. I think for most people, at least within our circles, it's kind of it's definitely the third leg here.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to have one, though, because there's occasionally that game that comes out that's got that Nintendo magic, and you're like, oh, shit, I need to play that game. And
well, I mean, felt the same way about the GameCube last generation, though.
Yeah, the same thing, exactly. It's like, oh, Zelda's out. Oh, Metroid's out. Geez, I'll dust off the GameCube and get cracking.
And every now and again, there's a really good third party game that comes out. You know, it can be kind of rare, but and most of the third party games that seem to be coming out for the Wii and even back in the day for the GameCube, it seemed, you know, they had a limited run, and if you didn't grab them, it was kind of hard to find them later on in the console life.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. No, I mean,
but
I played a lot of my third party games on the GameCube, but yeah, I mean, this generation, mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense to play them on the Wii unless it's something particularly special that the Wii does.
Yeah, it's usually it's like, as I said, it's just kind of it's the third leg in this relationship.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so what should we start off with? Got a game on your list you'd like to talk about?
Well, one that's just around the corner, Mass Effect 2. That's probably the biggest thing on the horizon right now. Did you play the first one?
Yes, it is. I did. That was an 07 release, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Late 07, I think. Might have even been late 06. No, late 07, I'm pretty sure.
Was late 07? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was going through a phase where I was basically pre-ordering every big title at the time, and that was on the list up there with, you know, other games like Assassin's Creed and a couple others. And out of that holiday bunch, I think Mass Effect was really the only one that I thought had any kind of merit. I thought a lot of the other games at the time were kind of great ideas, but weren't all there. But Mass Effect, it was a very solid game, and I'm not really an RPG guy. You know, there's a couple games that I can get into, but it's kind of few and far between. But I thought the way they handled a lot of things in Mass Effect made it feel less like an RPG and made it a lot more accessible to a lot of different types of game players.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it too. I mean, I picked it up in the middle of a whole bunch of other games as well, because that was a big year, and I don't think I got back to it for another 2 months. It was just sitting in my pile, and when I did throw it in, it's like, oh my god, this game's awesome. And by that point, I'd had the wisdom of the mob to tell me how to work the inventory system and things like that. So those issues that the early players had weren't really an issue for me, because I knew how to get around them. So I had a blast with that game. I mean, I didn't do a whole bunch of the side quests because they were a bit samey, but apart from that, yeah, the story was really good, the voice acting was really good, the graphics were great, and the gameplay, yeah, it was a good variety of things to do, so it worked really well for me. So I'm really looking forward to Mass Effect 2, despite some of the trailers that they've released for it so far.
What do you mean? What have the trailers been looking like?
The most recent one was all right, but some of them have been like, there's this female badass character, and it's just it's a bit cringeworthy. Sort of seeing that them almost pandering to the 13-year-old masses. But
is she the one with the giant boobs? Is that? I think I've seen her in a couple of video cuts, but I don't remember seeing like an introduction to who she was or anything.
Yeah, I'm not too sure myself, but if they can get over that kind of stuff, I'm sure the game itself will be fine. So I'm really excited for that, and yeah, they're talking about it having a darker tone. Hopefully, that's not a bad thing. I think everything is getting a darker tone. It's almost a bit of a cliche now, but if that's not, yeah, if they do that okay, that'll be good.
And I think with the first Mass Effect, they were going for that kind of darker tone, but at the same time, I think they were really embracing their kind of like campy 70s space opera kind of inspiration, where it was obviously just kind of phony, and they kind of played to that to a point.
Yeah, it's very sort of human affirmative story, even though humanity starts off in a very unprivileged place in the galactic pantheon. They do pick up the game, and it's always sort of hammered throughout the game that humanity is special, and Mm-hmm. You know, and so, yeah, I'm sure the second one will probably be the same, but that should be a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm the same with the RPGs. That was the first... I've played a few JRPGs, but that was the first Western RPG I'd really gotten into, so I really enjoyed that. Looking forward to number two.
I remember I had gotten into KOTOR back in the day for a little while. Eventually, it started to really kind of grind on me, and I had to put it to bed. But there's something about the BioWare games where it's just they seem to do enough different that it doesn't feel completely like an RPG, and it's kind of hard to describe if you don't really know. It's just there's a certain feeling, there's a certain way the action plays out, especially with the Mass Effect, where they basically transformed it into a third person shooter.
Yeah,
albeit not a very good one, but yeah, they did their best to kind of market that out, kind of in the same way, you know, Ken Levine really tried to pimp out BioShock as a kick-ass shooter first and everything else last.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think the shooting controls, for the most part, work pretty well with Mass Effect.
You know, it has that same kind of feeling that Fallout 3 has, where it's competent, but it's not great.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that kind of solid, fast, visceral feeling that a lot of the more popular games do, like Modern Warfare and Gears of War and things like that. It just doesn't have that kind of, doesn't have that pace to it.
Yeah.
It looks like they really improved on that even. Probably not to the level that I think they're trying to hype it to, but it looks like they definitely stepped it up a little bit, especially with all the new variations on the powers and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really want it to become just another shooter. I think the RPG elements worked really well. So, and I really love the dialogue tree system as well. That was just cool. Very cool.
Yeah, that's one of the big points that I really liked in it as well.
Yeah. I mean, during those cutscenes, you can just sort of... It's really good being able to plan your responses in advance and not knowing exactly what they're going to say. You can almost watch it like a movie while you're playing it.
Mm. That was definitely one of the best features. I'm always a big fan of seeing how dialogue plays out, as long as it's well written, and most of it was well written enough in Mass Effect. Yeah. And it was always interesting, and it was fantastic that it was all voice acted.
Yeah, and it was all really well acted too. All the voice actors did a good job.
Yeah, they did.
Cool. Well, what's next on what's on your list? What's the first thing on your list?
The first thing on my list is Dante's Inferno.
Ah. I downloaded the demo last night. I haven't played it yet, so...
Okay, well, I didn't hear a groan, so I'll go on.
I'm curious. I'm curious about this.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's, you know, I'm a huge, huge God of War fan. It's easily one of my favorite series from last generation. There's a lot of things they really did right in it, especially compared to other games in the same vein. I really didn't like Devil May Cry at all. I really didn't like Ninja Gaiden mainly for the ridiculous difficulty. But God of War, there's a great feeling, just a great pace to it, and the ease of control, the ease of being able to block. That was one of the big problems I had in like Ninja Gaiden, where it was basically, if you weren't facing an enemy, it was impossible to block them. And even if you were facing them, it was impossible to block them. But in God of War, it was really easy to dodge and roll and block and parry, and just it gave you a great sense of just being in control of your character. And that's what I really enjoyed about it. And I think Dante's Inferno, from what I've seen, it's, you know, obviously they're really they're copying as much as they can without going to court, basically,
yeah,
of what's in God of War. They're doing a lot of the same It looks like the combat is going to be very similar. The style of it's going to be very similar. And, you know, they're going for that epic feel. You know, I suppose Hell is pretty epic.
Yep.
So it just looks like they're going to do a lot of things right. As I said, though, it's kind of a cut and paste job. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It could be a great game. It might not be, you know, a real differentiator. It might not really bring anything new to the table, but I think it'll be a really solid game to play through, and I'm looking forward to it because I'm a big fan of that style of gameplay.
Yeah, but it does look, yeah, from what I've seen, it does look like it's going to be pretty solid. Yeah, I don't think it's going to break the mold, but if it's good fun, it's good fun, and it's got titties in it, so that's always a plus.
So it has titties in it that release, what is it, bees or flies or something.
Oh, you gotta love that.
Right, it's more titties than you can handle, basically. Yep.
It's like a clusterfuck of titties.
I'm not even sure you would want to handle those titties, I have to be quite honest. Those are probably the ones you want to stay away from.
Yeah.
And not even a brown paper bag will get rid of those. But yeah, you said you've downloaded the demo, but you haven't played it yet.
Yeah. So it's on the 360 waiting to go. I mean, I got my internet connection back yesterday after moving house, so I saw that was online. I thought, I'll grab that, and we'll see what it looks like. So I'll give that a go. I grabbed the Bayonetta demo too, a few weeks ago, and tried that, and didn't know what the hell to make of that. But I might actually have to pick that one up with all the everyone's been raving about how awesome it is. So I might get that one.
I'm kind of confused about the press on that. Like I said, I wasn't a big Devil May Cry fan, and that basically looks like Devil May Cry.
Yeah, well, I mean it's the same, some of the same developers.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of them on there as far as I know.
Yeah,
and especially the main producer, I can't recall his name. I believe he's on there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But the art style looks really good, and it's just been getting so many perfect reviews. I mean, Famitsu gave it a 40 out of 40. Edge magazine in the UK gave it a 10 out of 10. I mean,
yeah, I was really surprised about that one.
Yeah, because Edge doesn't give tens.
Yeah, so they're supposed to be pretty tight-lipped on that.
Yeah, I mean, Famitsu seems to be handing out 40s more and more often as time goes by, but that's still big stuff. So, yeah, that might have re-piqued my interest in that, even though I played the demo and didn't think a lot of it.
Well, you know, I think part of it might be I have a real problem with, like, the Japanese fantasy style, where they ingest all these different influences and then they kind of spit them out, and it's this huge fucking mess of all kinds of different faiths and different, you know, there's spirits here and there's a witch here and there's fucking heaven and hell and there's demons and they're flying around and there's angels, but it's just like it's such a mess way they interpret everything. It's crazy shit. It's really eye rolling. It's the only way I can put it.
You just have no fucking idea what's happening.
Yeah, it's kind of like a kid tried to write a fantasy story, and it's just, you know, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I think
sorry,
you're right on that.
That's just how it is.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that one. Thanks, Japan.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Well,
ruining Western culture.
You mentioned God of War. Are you looking forward to God of War 3?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That is it's definitely one of the reasons I'm trying to, you know, really kickstart me getting back into gaming. It's God of War 3 releases in March, and I need to get all over that as soon as possible. I haven't played the demo. I haven't, you know, I've watched some of the demo footage they originally had back when it was only at E3, I think it was.
Yeah.
But I haven't played it myself. but I'm really, really looking forward to that. I don't know if it'll be, you know, the best of the bunch, but it definitely looks like, you know, it. The graphics look really impressive. The sense of scale they managed to pull off just with the high res everything, it looks really impressive. And if I'm not mistaken, it's running 1080p, but I could be wrong.
Okay, that'd be quite ambitious, but it could well be.
Well, Sony, they were really trying to push that. I know they're doing that with Gran Turismo 5 runs 1080p as well, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So I think they're really trying to, even though it's kind of a dead argument, they're really trying to push the real HD. I'm really looking forward to God of War 3, and I'm hoping that'll be, hopefully it'll be the best of the bunch, but
remains
to be seen.
I have to admit, I haven't played any of the God of War games, so I am actually looking forward to this one. It seems like, you know, well, I might as well go for this one now. It seems like it might be the definitive one, and it is going to look awesome, so I might pick that one up.
I'd suggest, since you have a PS3, I'd suggest picking up the collection of the first two, but, you know, I remember I replayed through the second one early last year, and even then I think it was starting to get kind of dated. You know, even when the first God of War came out, that was at the ass end of the PS2 life cycle.
Yeah.
So by then, all you know, the 360 was already out, if I remember right, and you know, HD gaming was really starting to take off. But now, you know, it's just they had to really strain the hardware to get God of War out, and it's not, the graphics aren't as solid as something like Metal Gear Solid 3, where they managed to really strain the hardware, but I think they packed in a lot more detail in something like that, instead of focusing on scale. So
yeah,
I definitely check out 3 once it comes out. It could very well be the definitive game, and if you really want to go all out, I'm sure you could pick up the collector's edition, which has the collection in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too keen on playing the same game 3 times, so I might just grab 3 and go with that.
And we'll find out.
Yeah,
you'll let me know.
Just looking through my list now. GT5 is probably a good one to talk about because it's, well, meant to be coming out this year, in theory.
Get another delay?
Yeah, it was meant to be March 2010 in Japan, and it's been delayed there, and there's still no solid release date for anywhere outside of Japan. Well, there's no solid release date for Japan now either, so I mean,
wondering what they're doing.
I don't know. It's Polyphony Digital doing the same thing they do every time. I mean, GT4 was delayed a year and a half, and they had to rip out the online stuff to get that out the door even then. Yeah. So they're just bitten off more than they can chew. I mean, fair enough. They're trying to make the most awesome racing game ever, and it's going to have all these different styles of racing. It's going to have these hundreds of cars and dozens of tracks and all that good stuff, but it's got to ship at some point.
But this is the thing I don't quite understand. Didn't they pull this argument out of their ass when they released Gran Turismo 4? And it was, for all intents and purposes, it was Gran Turismo 3 with, you know, some more crap in it. I mean,
yeah.
not to, like, water it down. I mean, I'm sure they put more work into it. But it's almost the difference, you know, of going from one Madden to the next. It's like there's different stuff, but you're still racing a car. It still has like the same exact interface as even from the first one. I remember the first one, it basically has the same exact interface as the first game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're iterating, but it's just that, it's iteration. They're not overhauling anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that the comparison to the sports games, because yeah, that is it. I mean, it's the same tracks. They just throw a few more in and give the other ones a bit of a, you know, the old ones a bit of a spit and polish. And the same with the cars. A lot of the cars will be the same cars that have shipped in the other games. They just make the models, you know, higher resolution, and they're adding all the damage modeling and stuff as well for GT5, which is good to finally see. And hopefully they'll add an online mode.
The damage modeling remains to be seen, though, hasn't it? I don't think there's been any video footage or screenshots or anything. It could be something completely lame.
Yeah,
so it might not even be noteworthy.
Yeah, So there's some big question marks on that. I mean, if it does ship this year, it might be really good, but Forza 3 has just been so good for me. I've put a bunch of time into that, probably about 30 hours, I think, into Forza 3, yeah. And that's been so much fun. I mean, it's all road racing, but there's it doesn't have as many tracks or as many cars as they're promising for GT5, but everything that's in there is great, and it feels really good. Like, physics-wise, it feels fantastic, like, spot on for me. So, I don't know. I think Sony's got a job on their hands to take that over. And it's been so long since GT4 shipped that Forza 1, 2, and 3 have come out in the meantime. Which kind of puts it in perspective in terms of how long it takes Sony to get these games out.
Yeah. Well, it's not just Sony. It's Polyphony Digital.
Yeah.
And they really, you know, I think they released, I'm not sure the release date of, let me see, Gran Turismo 1 came out, and then there was the release of Gran Turismo 2. It was pretty close after Gran Turismo 1. I think it was a year or two, but it didn't take, you know, 4, 5, 6 years to pump out the second one.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to wonder what exactly they're doing. I know this is a new console generation, and they're certain things will have to be overhauled to meet their mythical standards, but you just really have to wonder what they're spending all their time on.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see eventually.
Yeah, eventually, whenever it actually gets a release date.
Right in time for the next Xbox to come out and Forza 4.
Who knows? They could go and they could release their own dedicated Gran Turismo console for all we know.
People would buy that. People would be all over that.
That comes with the full steering wheel controller and a seat and everything.
Yep. I could just see people plonking down at $1,000, $2,000 for that whole setup.
Yep. Yeah, I'm seeing the $9.99 price tag right now.
In stores, 2011.
Just imagine all the space that, like, a Rock Band complete set takes up.
Yep.
And then double that. Just imagine seeing boxes and boxes stacked everywhere.
Yep. But you just know that there are people out there that would just jump on that in a heartbeat. Because they love themselves some GT.
I loves it. Loves me some GT.
Well, what's next on your list?
Next on my list is Heavy Rain.
Ah, yeah.
And this isn't particularly I'm not like pissing my pants over here looking forward to this game, but. It's definitely on the list. Did you play Fahrenheit at all?
No.
The previous game?
No, I didn't. But it's always something I've wanted to play. It sounds really interesting.
Well, if you've waited this long, you might as well just play Heavy Rain. This is another game where I don't think Fahrenheit would hold up particularly well. It might to a point there, but about half of Fahrenheit was kind of wonky, and they really took the story in some stupid directions. But it really is the reinvention of the adventure genre, or the point-and-click adventure genre. They did a lot of really good things with Fahrenheit, and it looks like they're taking those good ideas they had, and they're mapping them onto an even better UI that's even more transparent to the user, essentially. And it looks like they really slapped together a great graphics engine. It's really pushing the uncanny valley, but some of the scenes look really good. I saw a trailer or some gameplay footage or something earlier, a scene in a big plaza and lots of people around and everything, and it looked like the tech demos that we were being promised, you know, years and years ago. It was of that quality.
Oh, fantastic.
But I think that also might be one of the downfalls. As I said, it's really, sometimes some of the characters are really pushing the uncanny valley. but I think it'll be a really it should be a really solid adventure game as long as what's its name, David Cage doesn't really shit on the story as he did with the last game he made. And it looks like they're taking that a little bit of a darker tone, so it should be pretty interesting.
Nice. That sounds like it should be it should be really good.
I'm hoping for it. But we'll see.
What else have we got? I mean, there's a few that there's not really much point in talking about. Dead Rising 2, we don't really know a lot about that. There's a new Metroid coming.
I went to a few dead birds on the L40 category.
Son of a bitch.
That's Guja. That's the bot on our IRC channel. I hooked it up with some text-to-speech.
While downloading 1,500 podcast episodes on it and really takes off with a professional, I can see where XP left off and off.
Off and off.
Off and
thanks.
Off.
You son of a bitch.
Almost as good as it's ass in an ass before.
Oh, man.
As in the ass.
There are a couple games on here that, you know, like you said, there we don't know a lot about.
Mario Galaxy
obviously
2.
On my list. Yep.
Yep. There's a new Golden Sun coming for the DS. That's kind of cool. I didn't play the second one on the GBA, but the first one on the GBA was really good. So
yeah, I was in the same camp.
If they get an editor for the dialogue, it would be good. It'll be a great game.
Haha, it seems like a coconut.
What?
I didn't know it knew coconut.
Is that your cat's is called something else? I forget which, but it's pretty early over there. We expected them to write Adam ampersand Joe show. Not sure how to make a Milky Joe.
What the fuck is a Milky Joe?
A Milky Joe is a coconut drink. Well, it's a Mighty Boosh thing.
Why the hell is he talking about coconuts?
Have you seen the Mighty Boosh?
I've seen a bit of the Mighty Boosh. I had a friend who was a big fan of them.
There's an episode in Series 2 which is all about they get stranded on an island with coconuts and they go slowly insane and the coconuts start talking to them. But I digress.
Right. Yes. Yes. Golden Sun. I was in the same boat. I played the first game and I really liked it. I think it was part of it was just I was amazed at what they managed to do with the GBA at the time. That was one of the first real key titles where they brought the 16-bit fury, and you know they did some really impressive stuff with that.
Totally awesome battle scenes.
They did a lot of.
He has at least 3 matches a day, often like a coconut.
Fucking coconut. They
he's obsessed with coconuts.
What is the deal? What is cat typing?
Out in the ass. Make one of you now.
Very nice.
The butt is insane. Very nice.
Do you know who is producing the new Golden Sun? Is it Camelot again?
I don't know, because is Camelot still around? Or did they fold? I can't remember now. I mean, they've been around for a long time. Let's see if Wikipedia knows.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
It is Camelot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought I might have heard some rumblings about Camelot going down after a while. But yeah, they're still open. They're still open, it looks like.
I could do with a new DS game. I picked up Zelda, or Kat bought me Zelda for Christmas. I haven't played much of it yet, but it looks good so far. We'll see how it goes.
Did you play the the previous one? The previous
Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah.
I finished that. I had a lot of fun with that, except for that main temple, like the hub temple, which was just a total pain in the ass. Apparently, this one they fixed that. That you can just jump straight back into where you were. You don't have to go through the levels again, and it's a lot quicker. So,
well, yeah,
that should be much better.
What I've heard is basically the temple is kind of like it's kind of a hub world kind of thing, and basically you don't have to retread the old territory. You automatically enter a new section of it when you have to. I'm looking forward to playing it once I have a DS.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on the DS FAT to hit, the DSi FAT.
Oh, the XL.
Yeah, the XL, XXXXL American Edition, whatever the hell it is. It's
the crazy big fat one.
It looks like my ideal DS because I never really brought my old DS anywhere. So if they wanted to make like a 10-inch tablet, I'd be cool with that.
You need one of the like the display systems they have at trade shows and stuff.
Oh, that would be.
Because it's got two monitors for you to play it. That would be awesome.
That would be so good. I'd love one of those. That'd be awesome. Very awesome.
Just looking at my list again, I've got the new. There's another Prince of Persia coming. I mean, we don't really know a lot about that either, but it's going to be some kind of follow up to the Sands of Time. So
they've released a few screens of it. If you haven't seen those,
yeah.
So
it does seem more of that sort of return to the original Sands of Time feel. If they do it right, it could be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't heard a release date or anything like that, though, have we? There's no, they're not tying in with the movie or.
May 11th, apparently, so maybe they are.
Whoa, hey, May 11th this year?
Yeah, May 11th this year.
Really? Okay, I didn't think it was coming out that quick.
Because the last one was only a year ago. Well, that could be good.
I did on the Steam games I like. It might get around to playing with my mom. Nope, my mom got it on the mom.
What a piece of shit.
Obsessed with your mom. What did you say about my mother?
Imagine being a bitch.
I can see it right now. I can see it.
Ooh. Yeah, I can imagine being a bitch.
Yeah, I bet it's just being like Gujar, you piece of shit. I can't talk back when I'm talking in voice, can you? That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. The next game I got is, how about Just Cause 2? Have you played the original at all?
No, I haven't.
Another game you haven't played.
Yeah, I'm a bad gamer.
Just Cause the original, it wasn't it wasn't exactly the best game ever. They did a lot of really cool things with it, though. The gameplay was really solid. Just the stuff you could do. It got a little bit repetitive because the things you could do were kind of limited, and the story was basically non-existent. So the story missions you did do, they didn't really take you any place that you probably already didn't go yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, the original Just Cause, it was it reminded me a lot of GTA 3. When I first got GTA 3, and the same when I first got Just Cause, I spent probably at least 40 hours just screwing around without doing any of the missions. So, and the space in Just Cause was it wasn't big enough to really not explore it all pretty quickly, because the options you had for getting around, you could get around very easily, hijacking helicopters and cars and boats and all that. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was just the fluidity of the game was, it was a very fun game. It was, and you know, it was at the time when there really wasn't a whole lot out for the next gen systems just yet. So Just Cause was a blast. I don't know if it's really going to be able to hold up nowadays. I'm sure it'll be, it'll still be pretty fun. And it looks like they've added a lot of new things to it. I know they have the grapple hook, and you can do lots of crazy stuff with that, like tether objects together and tether people together, things like that. But it looks like they've tried to do it justice. I'm not sure what else to say besides that. I haven't seen, too much on it. There's been a few really good trailers that show off the gameplay and everything, but it's in that vein of, Crackdown, where you can do anything, go anywhere, blow anything up, things like that. It just looks like it should be a lot of fun.
Oh, that does sound like fun. I might have to check that one out too.
Yeah, definitely would.
Next on my list is The Last Guardian, which is the new game from the Ico guys.
Yes.
This looks good. I mean, we, again, don't really know a whole lot about it, I guess, except that it looks like the other games, and it's probably going to be awesome and have a really cool story, and it's got some kind of wacky flying kitty monster thing in it that's your companion throughout the game, hopefully.
Yeah.
But these guys could shit on a plate and hand it to me, and I'd eat it up, honestly. After the last two games, I'm totally sold.
Yeah.
So I don't even need to look. I might even just sort of go on blackout about this and not read anything more about it and just wait till it shows up and just relish the experience.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have a whole lot, because I don't remember a whole lot of press even being done about Shadow of the Colossus before it hit. So it hopefully it should be on blackout in general, but I think I'm going to do just about the same thing.
Yeah. So you played the other two and really enjoyed those?
Well, I remember I had a PS2, and I remember when everyone was shooting bricks about Ico. And that was, you know, eventually I managed to get a hold of an actual copy. It was used, and, you know, the cases were covered in stickers, and it really hurt my collector sensibility. But I powered through that, and Ico was a very good game. It really hits a lot of the notes that I find that I really enjoy in games. It's it really does exploration really well. It really rewards players just in the visual aspect and taking you to new places and everything. And, you know, being a sappy, hopeless romantic, I think the weak relationship that the two had in the game, it was cute and it was sweet, and I really like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of little touches, like just watching them holding hands while they run, and sort of Yorta's sort of trying to keep up and she'll trip a little bit and sort of scramble, and it's just little touches like that which just really endeared you to the characters.
Yeah, they did lots of really small details, and you know, they did an amazing job with the art style, I think was one of the big things. Originally Ico was supposed to be a PS1 title.
I'd heard that actually.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I think I recall seeing a couple screenshots, and I think that art style is basically it was spawned by the hardware limitations at the time. And they kind of, they held it over, and they, you know, they up-resed it a bit, and they threw in some really good lighting for the time. And it looked fantastic. It looked really, really good.
Yeah, no, it did look really good. Shadow of the Colossus was, yeah, almost pushed the hardware too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Coming along sort of towards the end of the PS2's lifetime, and it would just, you know, the frame rate would drop, and it was jaggy as hell, and you just sort of wish, you know, that they'd released that game on the PS3.
And they did some crazy stuff too. They threw in progressive support. They did
HDR lighting and stuff, kind of. It was kind of semi-faked HDR lighting.
Yeah, and they had the motion blur.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did a lot of stuff with that, actually. It was impressive, but like you said, it would bog the game down a bit.
Yeah, and the fur on the Guardians as well, that looked really good too, for the most part. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it did just bog down. So I can't wait to see what these guys come up with a, can I call it a next-gen console still? That's just stupid at this point. I can't wait to see what they do with the PS3.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah, it's not next-gen if it's out, and we're playing it.
Yeah.
I think we're past that point now.
Yep. I think that's me almost done. I mean, Fable 3 we know nothing about, apart from the fact that it's going to do something with Natal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big Fable Fable fanboy. That's what I'm hearing.
I didn't play the first one. I mean, I never had an Xbox, so I missed a lot of those games.
I wouldn't say you missed them, but go on.
I did pick up Fable 2 though, and I really enjoyed that. I had a lot of fun with that. So I'm very curious to see how Fable 3 turns out.
But have there been any grandiose promises from Peter Molyneux yet?
I think he's been keeping his mouth shut for the most part, which is probably for the best.
Yeah, I think it is for the best.
I mean, they've talked about Natal, and they've demoed some of the stuff that they've done for Natal, which, yeah, I don't know if there's any connection there with that Milo thing with that kid, and you can talk to him, and you throw him stuff, and God knows what that's all about. But
the ultimate pedophile simulator.
Yeah, exactly. So whether or not something like that is destined for Fable 3, who knows?
Yeah. It could be interesting. I'm not sure. I haven't kept up much on Fable. It hasn't been my most favorite series.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they could do something interesting with it.
Yeah. I mean, I came into Fable 2 pretty much blind, so I think I might take the same approach with Fable 3. I think a lot of the people that were disappointed with Fable 2 were the people that expected it to do crazy things that it was never going to do.
Mm.
But yeah, that Peter Molyneux had pissed on about. So if you can avoid that, yeah, it might be a good experience. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see Peter Molyneux.
Yeah. So what else is on your list?
Yeah, I still have a ton of games on my list.
Okay. I'm pretty much done. The only other thing I wanted to just hang shit on is Green Day Rock Band. What the fuck? What the fuck?
What's the what the fuck for? Is it because Green Day's doing it, or is it because they're making all these specific releases, or?
Yeah, I mean, the Beatles Rock Band was okay. I'll give them a pass on that because they just did such a good job of it, and because the Beatles are one of the few bands in history, I think, that perhaps deserve that kind of special treatment. And yeah, visually it was just outstanding, and just the attention to detail is phenomenal. There's so much content in there.
Yeah.
I'll forgive them that because that was a really good game. But Green Day, I mean, is there enough content there to justify a whole game? At least it's going to be downloadable into Rock Band, like, yeah, the Rock Band 2. So it's not going to be a standalone thing permanently, but I don't know. I don't necessarily like... It's not necessarily Green Day that's the problem, but it's just... yeah, what's next? Is this the direction that Rock Band is going in? The direction that Activision is probably trying to backpedal from very quickly now with the disaster that's been Guitar Hero Van Halen?
I'm not sure who okayed Van Halen getting out. I'm not even sure who okayed Aerosmith getting their own bit. But yeah, you know, it has to make you wonder if they're just if they're really just trying to go for that kind of cash grab now. I don't think Green Day is really the most popular band they could be going with, if that's the case.
Yeah, it's not. They're not doing Lady Gaga.
Shut your dirty mouth, because now you know Rock Band Lady Gaga is coming. God, no!
That's my prediction. 2001, Lady Gaga, Rock Band. 2011, sorry.
That better not happen.
We certainly hope not.
No, okay. Let's just hope that doesn't happen. yeah, it just makes you wonder what they're going for. It could be a cash grab, but you never know. It could have been Green Day coming to them first and saying, "Hey guys, you know, we'd really like to get in on Rock Band, and we think we really have a unique style to bring to it." And they kind of looked it over and said, "Yeah, I guess we could give you your own game."
The thing to see will be how different it is from just a DLC pack. Yeah, if it's just a bunch of tracks on disc that could have just been DLC, then it's going to look stupid.
Well, you know, I imagine it to be something along the lines of, Guitar Hero Metallica, where it was basically a track pack, but, you know, with some other artists in there and, you know, kind of the skins of Metallica on there. So I think it'll be about the same. I don't know if they're going to put the same spit and polish they did into it as they did for Beatles, but
yeah,
who knows?
That's the real question, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got a couple. I just kind of want to throw out there, throw them out of the way, just throw them under the bus.
Yep.
Postal 3 is supposed to be hitting sometime this year, and I'm only bringing this up because. Running with Scissors is headquartered just outside my hometown of Tucson, Arizona. And I just, you know, this is, you know, just a personal message from me to Vince Desi, the head of Running with Scissors. It's a big fuck you for yet again making Tucson look like a shitty video game development hub. I don't know if you're aware, but there's also a company called, I believe they're Wonder Tree, and they're responsible for all the awful Bible games that came out during the NES and SNES era.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Yeah, and they were also out of Tucson, Arizona. So if you have a video game development company, don't come to Tucson, please. Just stay out. And I think the next one on my list is, I haven't heard a whole lot about, is I Am Alive, which there was a similar game called, I think it was Disaster Report, that came up for PS2. It was released by, I think it was AgTech, AGTEC, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting concept, having to survive in a broken city. Disaster Report, they did it, and it was, you know, it was kind of interesting, but it'll be, I think it'll be even more interesting to see what they do on a next-gen console to see if they can really make it more interesting, because I think that could play into the kind of exploratory kind of adventure vibe that I got from games like Eco and things like that. But like I said, there's not a whole lot of information, so we'll figure that out when there's more released on it. But there's a couple other big ones. I got StarCraft II.
Yep.
Which should be amazing.
That's meant to be fairly early 2010, isn't it?
I don't believe they've given anything other than a when it's done.
Okay.
It
was meant to be 2009 at some point, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did, as far as I know. But, you know, Blizzard's the kind of company who will do that. They'll talk. They love to talk about things really early, and then, you know, usually they're good about not throwing out a release date, but I think they kind of screwed up with StarCraft and said it would be in 2009. But that looks, you know, it should be a massive game, obviously. I probably don't need to talk about it too much. I was a big StarCraft kid back in the day as well, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how that plays out and how they manage to take the story, especially now that they're going to really expand it out into three full games, essentially. Should be
very... Yeah, I think they're going to have to work hard to justify that decision.
Actually, I don't think they will, to be quite honest. You know, I thought, you know, StarCraft was a great game by itself, but I also thought Brood War, that was really an easily justifiable kind of sequel. And as long as they can bring that level of quality and they can, you know, bring that kind of a depth to it and... you know, how many, a lot, enough story and enough maps and everything to kind of justify it like they did before, then I think it could be a no-brainer.
Yeah, as long as there's three games worth of content there, I think people will be very happy.
No, definitely.
If it looks like a cash grab, then people will still buy it, I'm sure. They'll be pissy about it. No one's gonna boycott this over.
No.
Yeah, having to buy three games.
No. Everyone's gonna buy it and they're gonna love it.
Yep.
And
actually, speaking of big games, Bioshock 2. I keep forgetting that this is coming out, and it's not very far away either.
No.
It's just without that Ken Levine factor, it's totally off my radar.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of it. I'll just let it come out and we'll see what people think of it. And if people think it's good, maybe I'll pick it up.
Have you seen any of the media or anything on it?
I think I saw some of the really early stuff, like a video or two, but not for a while. I haven't been following it closely since sort of the first media came out for it. So
it looks like they're doing some interesting stuff with it, with the fact that you're now you're in the role of a big daddy, and they're definitely, for whatever reason, they're definitely pushing the multiplayer aspect. I hate to shit on it before it's even out, but I know it's just going to be it's not even going to be worth playing. Essentially, I can't see the point of a multiplayer game going on in a setting like Rapture.
Yeah, it's just gonna be, yeah, it's gonna, the multiplayer is gonna fall flat for sure.
Yeah, but that definitely looks like it should be interesting.
Yeah, it's the kind of game that very well could be very good. It's just, yeah, I just don't have the faith in it that I would have if Ken Levine was at the helm.
Yeah hopefully they manage to keep it pretty good, though, and it has Levine's blessing, so
yeah. And it does have, unless I'm mistaken, a lot of the people that worked on Bioshock working on it, so like the people below, yeah, Ken Levine's level.
Yeah, there's still a lot of them. They're still over there, all the guys with the 2K Boston.
Yeah, they moved over to is it 2K Boston that's doing it, or 2K Marin?
I'm pretty sure it's Boston, isn't it? Because Boston is...
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And Levine moved to 2K Marin, perhaps. Yeah. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, I know Ken Levine was basically the only guy to get out, essentially.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got... next on my list, I got the ever-delayed Alan Wake from Remedy.
Man, how long has that been... coming real soon now for,
well,
3 years.
Let me see. I'm trying to remember when Max Payne 2 was released, because that was the last we've heard from Remedy. See, Max Payne 2 was released on Windows October 15th, 2003.
Wow.
So this is turning into Duke Nukem Forever territory.
Yeah.
It's going to be almost 7 years. Supposedly, it's really coming this year, from everything we've heard, but obviously it remains to be seen. When did they start talking about this? In 2006, I think it was.
2005 at E3, which was when Microsoft would have been announcing the 360 itself, you would imagine.
Holy shit.
Or at least really, really pimping the hardware then.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that long ago. Jesus. I don't even remember it being that long ago, but that's it's getting ridiculous. I know they've been releasing a lot more media on it lately, especially last E3, I think it was. They released a lot more than they have previously, a lot more gameplay demos and things like that. And it's looking like...
Yeah, had people playing at it.
Yeah. It's looking like the gameplay is all there. So it's just a matter of them, you know, finally letting go and Microsoft squeezing them into a release window somewhere they find acceptable. It looks pretty solid. It looks, you know, it looks like a Remedy game. I don't know what else to say. It's not like they have a wealth of games behind them except for the Max Payne series. But
yeah. I mean, it's definitely could be a very good game if they get it all together.
Yeah, I'm wondering because... Alan Wake was built in mind with such a console focus, how that'll turn out, because Max Payne was such a, even Max Payne 2, it was such an old school design of, you know, that kind of old school Quake insta-death design, where if you weren't quick saving every 60 seconds, you could fuck yourself over pretty badly. It'll be interesting to see how they manage to deal with being on a console.
Yeah, well, they've been working at it for long enough now. You'd hope they've worked it out.
Yeah, we'll see the next Xbox before that game comes out, it seems.
Yeah, apparently they claimed it was done on August 17th last year, and it's just been undergoing polish since then.
Okay. We'll see. I have high hopes for it. It's I thought the Max Payne games were really well done for what they were. Well, I got a couple more. I got Red Dead Redemption. You know, there's been a lot of recent controversy at Rockstar also, with their Rockstar San Diego development house really kind of falling apart. And supposedly that's also spilling into Red Dead Redemption development as well. At Rockstar San Diego, they did Midnight Club. They made all the tech for Raid, their Rage engine, and they're also developing Red Dead Redemption. You know, here's to hoping everything gets worked out, but it sounds like we're going through another another labor problem a la EA Spouse from last time. But hopefully that doesn't affect the quality of the game. Not that I want anyone over in San Diego dying for my Red Dead Redemption, but,
we'd hope not.
Right. Who knows, though? Rockstar, who knows what the hell Rockstar does? They keep their doors closed pretty tight. But that game is looking very good. I know it's been shown in gameplay form behind closed doors, to a couple big press outlets, and by all accounts, it's exactly what I'm kind of hoping for, which is GTA 4 in the Wild West.
Yeah, it's such a promising premise. You could do so much with that.
You really could, and I'm not expecting Rockstar to do anything not Rockstar, which is the only problem. Which is to say that the mission structures might not be that great. It might not be that, you know, varied. They might be kind of stupid. But, you know, the GTA series has always really, really been one of my key series for, like, the exploration gameplay and things like that. And doing that in the Wild West, it could be really, really interesting as long as they really managed to give you a big enough area to explore, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're putting in a lot of wildlife, they've got weather changes, they've got, all sorts of stuff to really flesh out that world, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a much more dynamic world than, say, GTA 4, which is... That's a great world, but nothing much really happens.
Well, it's like the real world. It's,
Yeah.
you could stand outside your house and, nothing crazy is really going to happen, probably. I'm not sure where you're living now, but... but
yeah, that's a fairly fair assessment, though. I did see a big crowd of people in three cop cars the other night, and I'm like... as I went past on my bus on the way home, so...
Okay, yeah. Well,
we've just moved into what is traditionally known as a dodgy neighborhood, but so far it's been fine.
Yeah, but every neighborhood I've lived in until I moved out here to Camarillo has been easily classified as a dodgy neighborhood, so I know what that's like. But even then, it's...
Yeah.
Maybe it's just, getting used to all the sirens and everything. But it's kind of commonplace. It's nothing, overly exciting. There's no really random events. So taking place in the Wild West, they could definitely bring a dynamism there. Is that even a word? Dynamism?
Yep.
All right. They could bring that.
Dynamism, yes. Dynamicness.
They could bring the dynamicness to the table. And really do something good. I'm hoping for it. And as long as, like I said, it is GTA 4 in the Wild West, it could be a good time.
Yeah. I mean, that's not something I've actually been paying much attention to, but that sounds cool. I might have to check that one out when it comes out.
Yeah. I got two more games on my list. And one is an obvious one. I'll save that one for last. This one might be kind of obvious too, but I'll throw it out there. Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker for the aging, disgusting, ever-changing PSP. you know, it's the PSP is a system that I love to hate, essentially. It's something that has a lot of promise. It never went anywhere, and it almost seems like an unnecessary system as well.
I'm sure most people use theirs a lot more for videos and emulators and things like that than for actual gameplay of UMD discs.
Oh, I guarantee that. I can guarantee that. But it's just, I don't know. This last round of handhelds, though, it's just been, you know, I never take them anywhere. If I take them anywhere, I'm not playing them while on the go. It's, you know, I take them somewhere and I'm sitting around the house and I'll bust one out. And that's one of the most frustrating things about the PSP, because it so badly wants to be a PS2. And, you know, especially the last game I played on it was God of War Chains of Olympus. And that so badly wanted to be a full God of War game. And, you know, it was brutal having to sit there and, like, stare into the screen when I know I could be playing the same game, like, on my nice little PS2 right next to me. I want to say it's unfortunate that it exists. How about that? Is that too harsh?
No, I think that's fair. I mean, we've got a PSP here, and I bought it for Kat so she could play, what a surprise, so she could play Katamari on it when me and my Katamari came out for it.
Yeah.
And, it hasn't been used for much else. And even for that, it wasn't great because it's got only the one analog nubby thing. Yeah, and Katamari really needs two analog sticks.
Yeah, it just, it has no reason for being.
It's just, I mean, yeah, good on them for trying to take a stab at Nintendo, but... Yeah, Nintendo still just owns the handheld space. So even the DS. I mean, what's been happening with the DS in the last couple of years? I mean, they've brought out the DSi. There's some shitty games on DSiWare that no one gives a rat's ass about. Where's the big title? Even Zelda. I mean, Zelda came out for the DS and hardly anyone blinked an eyelid. No one seems to care anymore.
Well, I think that's part of the handheld territory. You know, I don't remember anyone really going nuts when, like, Link to the Past came out for Game Boy. I think, you know, just the handheld it's on a different wavelength. And either you're into that wavelength or you're not, essentially. I think there are some great games for both the current platforms, PSP and DS. But I think for the most part, it just doesn't... A lot of... Especially the hardcore gamers, I don't think they're really into the same kind of games that are being pumped out for the handheld systems.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a perception, especially with the DS, of it being a console for kids. So there's a lot of those sort of awful kids games and movie tie-ins and games with Z on the end of the name and Z. Yeah, just awful, awful crap. Stupid shovelware.
Well, I think that's just part of the territory. I mean, it's probably just me speaking from like personal experience, but you know, when I was a kid, you know, I was huge into Game Boy, and the older I got, you know, the more I shifted over to consoles. But when I was a kid, you know, I'd take my Game Boy Pocket everywhere. I'd play games all the time everywhere. Some of the biggest games I played were on Game Boy Pocket, and some of my most memorable games were on that system. But you know, the older I got, the more I kind of grew out of it. And I think, you know, that's kind of how it is, at least from my point of view. It's kind of meant for children to a point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, kids don't have access to a TV whenever they want, and they can't afford, you know, $400 consoles and $60 games.
Exactly. But I don't know. You know, they've been doing some interesting stuff with the handhelds. It's just not. It's a lot like you know, the Wii is at this point. It's, you know, there's some interesting stuff coming, but for the most part, it's just one of those things you take out every once in a while.
Yeah, you kind of, you don't play it because you want to play it. You play it because some game has come out for it, which is good enough to make you play it despite the fact that it's on the Wii or on the handheld, or it's like a fucking DS game. Oh shit, I need to bring out my DS again.
Yeah. I wouldn't lump DS in with the PSP's unfortunate existence, but still, at this point, you know, the Wii could, you know, obviously compensate for a lot of what the DS does. So I'm surprised we haven't been seeing more games that were kind of meant for DS crossing over into the Wii.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a bit of that. I mean, there's, you know, things like Cooking Mama. There's the first Phoenix Wright game just came out for WiiWare.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a hell of a lot.
Mm. Maybe more in the future when the Wii HD comes out.
Yep.
And end of 2010, here we go. All right. It's my prediction.
That's your prediction for 2010?
Sure.
Will it be announced or will it be released?
I'm going to say it'll be announced.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
Well, they've been,
it's a bit out there, but I think you might have a good chance with that.
They're iterating like crazy on the DS. It's only a matter of time before Nintendo realizes they can do that on the home consoles. So yeah. I think that's definitely coming at some point this year, or at least being announced. All right.
What's your final game?
My final game, and this is like, if I had to kill someone to own this game, I'd do it no problem. That's all I'm going to say. This is Splinter Cell Conviction.
Ah.
It's easily my most anticipated game for quite a while.
Wow.
I was a huge fan of Splinter Cell 3. You know, I was a fan of the series since the beginning, but I think Splinter Cell 3, they did a ton of amazing stuff with that. And a lot of it was in, you know, it was in really kind of basic refinements of the core system. And they just did a lot of great things that made it really the ultimate stealth game at that time. I think Metal Gear Solid 3, I think they did a lot of things where that kind of made it into an ultimate stealth game as well. But it was kind of in a different vein. But Splinter Cell 3 is definitely easily my favorite game of the last, since I've been alive, 23 years.
Wow, that's a big call.
That is a big call, but I'm laying it down right now. I can't even count the number of times I've played through that game. So, Splinter Cell was the last one that came out. Here's where the disappointment sets in. What was the last game that came out? I can't remember what it was called.
Chaos Theory?
No, Chaos Theory was the third one. I don't even remember what it was called. That's how bad it was. Double Agent, there we go. Double Agent was not good, to put it nicely. they have this... Ubisoft has the same thing going on as Infinity War does with Call of Duty, where every other Splinter Cell game is done by a different studio. Ubisoft Montreal did the original Splinter Cell, and then they farmed out the work for the second one to their new studio in Shanghai. And the second one as well, it wasn't that, it was, there were some good moments, but it wasn't as good. And then the third one, Chaos Theory, is where Montreal took it back. And that's the one that really blew me away. But then they did it again where they, you know, they dumped Double Agent onto their Shanghai studio. And Shanghai, needs to keep it in Shanghai because it's just not very good. I don't know what they're doing over there. I don't know who you're running the studio. I don't know if they have any supervision. It wasn't like I wasn't slitting my wrists when I was playing the game, although that probably would have been, you know, a good way to go out. It just wasn't very good. There was just a lot of problems with it. The gameplay wasn't up to par, which is, I don't know how they could have fucked that one up, but they managed to. Just the level design, the story. There was just a ton of problems with the game. After the perfection of what was Splinter Cell 3, you know, it just left, yeah, it left a pretty sour taste in my mouth. But Conviction, you know, they're doing it again. Ubisoft Montreal is back. I don't know why I keep saying EA. Ubisoft Montreal is back on this one, and they're really, they're doing what they did in the third one. They're really trying to take it. They're trying to kind of amp it up a notch. They're trying to really innovate on what they were doing before. Some of the innovations look like they might be taking it back a notch, but most of it looks like it's really going to be helping to push it forward.
They're mixing up the story a lot and things like that, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing a lot of story stuff. In all honesty, I don't think the story is really the highlight of the series. I think that's definitely one of the series where gameplay comes before story. If you've been following the games at all, though, they tend to, you know, drop nice little tidbits from here and there and kind of really, you know, play up his backstory as much as they can. And they are doing some interesting stuff with the story in this one. I'm not sure how successful that'll be. And honestly, I'm not sure if I'll care that much, which sounds kind of harsh, especially considering I laid like Splinter Cell 3 is the greatest game of all time. Mm-hmm. But
if it's the gameplay you're after, then that's what you want.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's it looks like they've done some amazing things to the gameplay in the new Splinter Cell. There's some really welcome additions, and it just seems like they're trying to increase the overall speed. I know a lot of people seem to have a problem with the slow pace you had to take with the Splinter Cell series, or with stealth games in general.
Yeah, stealth games have always had that, haven't they?
Yeah, where you've kind of had to keep it slow. But they're really trying to amp up the speed, and it's great too because it's not they're not trying to force it. They're making it another option, at least from what I can tell. And they're definitely bringing it up another notch, and I'm really looking forward to it. And you know, they're doing what everyone's doing now too. Or at least all the big publishers, they're throwing in a great co-op mode that's all its own. The multiplayer is, you know, it's all its own, and it's, you know, that unique gameplay style that they've had in the previous games.
They were one of the first series to do a real good standalone co-op mode, weren't they? So there was like a scenario in one of the earlier ones that was
Chaos Theory, the third one, is they had their own separate co-op mode. I think it had like 6 or 8 missions in it, and it was its own separate little thing. And if you were one for the story, you know, it took place parallel to the story in the game as well. So it was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
They were one of the first people to really do it, and they did it really well as well. You know, there's lots of tandem things you have to do, and they just really tried to make it really tight to make it feel like your partner wasn't a hindrance, or that it wasn't unnecessary that your partner was there. They did some, they did a few gameplay tweaks that really necessitated the second person being there and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to it. That's another game that's, you know, really pushing me to get my gaming setup going again, which hopefully I'll have, hopefully by mid, by February.
April, you're going to need a 360 and a PS3 for all the games you want to play.
Now listen, if I don't eat more than once a day, I'm pretty sure I can get it going on.
It's priorities.
My priorities are to get, I need to get a 360 and a PS3. That's my priorities.
Yep. I'm really, and some booze in there, perhaps.
Yeah. Hopefully free booze. I don't know if I can make that happen, though.
If you can make that happen, you'd be right. I mean, then, yeah, what are your expenses apart from consoles, really? You can get by without everything else.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could just, like, beg, borrow, and steal anything else I needed.
Yep.
And that's what I'm going to do, because 360's coming soon. Hopefully I'm going to order one of those pretty soon here, and PS3 will come soon after that. So we'll see. I'm excited.
That'll be awesome, man. Have you online playing games? We'll have to set up some co-op or something.
Oh, definitely.
I might even pick up that Splinter Cell game, because to be honest, I haven't played one.
Really? Another game you haven't played.
Yeah. I'm a bad, bad gamer.
No, I just think you hate everything that I love. I think that's what's going on.
I just like particular games. I don't know. I always seem to have an odd selection of games that I pick up. Like, I bought Brutal Legend straight away. I had to have that.
Really?
And a lot of people would just totally skip that or just ignored it or...
Yeah.
Yeah, picked it up and dismissed it and sent it back already. I don't know. I really like that. I really like Brutal Legend. I'll go on record and say that I enjoyed that game a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, it was all right.
I don't know. I'm not totally alone in that, but yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah. There were some definite good parts to it, but I don't know. I don't think it was Schaefer's best. That's all I can say.
No. That's probably a fair call. So that's it for 2010 games that we're looking forward to, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have anything else on my list right now, so...
Yeah, well, there's always stuff being announced.
Yeah. There's always something interesting being announced somewhere. You never know, really. You just never know. There were some big bombshells dropped, you know, the first half of last year that came out at the end of this year, so there could be a lot of stuff coming out we're not even aware of.
Yeah, and I mean,
well, God, she.
What the hell? I think the bot just said that you were God, or asked if you were God.
I am God. Thank you, Gujar.
Ah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, E3 this year, I guess, is when we're going to see what Sony and Microsoft are actually going to do with their motion control things, rather than just what the motion control things themselves are.
Mm.
So we'll hopefully see some titles using those for actual stuff, rather than just, yeah, faffy demos.
Well, and they are, both of them are, you know, they're different systems, you know. Natal, they're really going after a different thing than with the PS3. The PS3 motion controller, they're almost going after kind of a, you know, a more Wii experience.
Yeah, it's like Wii +++.
Yeah, where you have the wand and it has buttons on it, and, you know, apparently you can hold the PS3 controller in your other hand if you want to look like a jackass. But that's kind of what they're going for. But Microsoft, really, they're it seems like they're going for that whole controllerless kind of thing, and that'll lead to a much different games, I feel, than with the Sony motion control.
I don't know what it's called, the Sony thing,
the magic wand.
Yeah, magic wand thing, whatever. The PlayStation dildo.
The PlayStation Glowing Dildo. Brought to you by Sony Computer Entertainment.
Yeah. I wonder if that's going to have a vibrate function in it.
Oh, yeah.
To be innovative.
You know what? If it does, you know what I'm really hoping for? You know, I'm hoping to see that sticking out of somebody's vagina. That's all I'm going to say. With that magic colored glowing ball.
Where's Jessica Chobot when you need it? Something.
I think she's going to have to deep throat that one.
Something tells me she's not going to have any trouble doing that.
Right. Well, we'll see. She got a job in the gaming industry somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's right. First episode, I'm calling out Jessica Chobot. It's first episode. <laughs> Oh, boy. All right. So I guess that's it for 2010 games.
All right. Well, this has been the Partners in Lag podcast, first episode. Hope you all enjoyed it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is Penuman42.
And I'm sneaking around on Twitter. You can follow me there. You can follow us there. You can follow all our terrible adventures.
Crazy shenanigans.
Crazy shenanigans.
And when we have an official website URL, we'll drop that in here. But for now, you can find these episodes at blag.linuxgamers.net. That's blag.linuxgamers.net, because I'm a crazy XKCD fan.
All right. I think everyone is. I would hope so. Everyone who would listen to this podcast probably is.
Yeah. If you're not an XKCD fan and you're listening to this podcast, well, yeah, you should just go away right now.
I'm going to say just fuck off. I'll say it right now because I'm not afraid to be abrasive.
Yep. Excellent. All right. Well, we'll see you all whenever we see you next, whenever we get around to recording another one of these damn things.
2011.
Yes, join us next time for our 2011 games podcast.
Our annual podcast.
Awesome.